As you're saying I'll talk to you in a minute to each other, I want to, Jordan had mentioned that we're going to send some clipboards around. We have some things as a church family we want to be involved together in. We want to advance God's kingdom together. I'm even going to talk about this today. I didn't know it was going to tie in, but part of advancing his kingdom together, part of being part of advancing his kingdom, is we get to share in the joy of the harvest and the reward of seeing people come to Jesus. So if one kid at the Easter thing, if one kid's life is changed, and somehow a kid and a family and a generation gets their eyes on Jesus, is it worth all the work, huh? Yeah. Come on. Just one. But we can go for two and three. All right, so with that being said, this is really important. Jordan had mentioned clipboards are going to come around to volunteer for some things that we need to do to get this place ready for those many kids that are coming. And I've sat out there before when clipboards were being passed, and two things happened, and I want to try to just warn us against the two things so the clipboards make it through and so we can do this together. A is if you're sitting away from somebody, it's okay in the middle of the sermon, yes, to get up and go hand it to them. B, don't let it stop on your row. Make sure it just keeps passing back. So we're going to send one through each section. We'll start them. The ushers have them, I think, and we're going to start them in the front. And then just make sure it keeps passing back. So make sure the clipboard keeps going. Put your name on it. And C, you don't have to, like, watch it when it's three rows away going, here it comes. I wonder what's on there. It'll get to you, and you'll see it, and you'll get to respond to the clipboard. So that's the clipboard announcement. You ushers can go ahead and get those coming. My name is Dan, and I'm one of the elders at the church here, and I get the honor of speaking, talking about some things that God is doing here. We are in the series Bless. And the Bless, there's an acrostic for it up here. And today we're going to be talking about the B, begin with prayer. And I love this topic. I, in my own personal life, realize that prayer changes everything. Getting our hearts aligned with God changes everything. So what an awesome topic that I get to speak on today. So we're going to do this together. And I'm starting today with, did you guys know Dave was going to help me preach today? Yeah. All right. He's better looking than I, but he's still old. He's over 29, I think. Aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. All right. So I want to give you an example to start with. I want to talk today about being in tune with God and how prayer is really how we tune up with what he's doing and the harmony of what he's doing. So this is just a little illustration to start this morning. I've asked Dave to play us a song. So go ahead and play us a song, Dave. Some of you might think that's pretty, so I'm not sure if this illustration is going to work for you. Okay, thank you. That guitar, the strings are supposed to be set up in a certain tuning, so when you play that song, they sound sweet and they sound good. But if one string is out of tune, or even worse, if all the strings are out of tune, then it doesn't sound like what it really should sound like. It doesn't sound as beautiful. The harmonies aren't there. Everything is not there. So I'm going to have Dave go ahead and tune that guitar the way it's intended to be played, and then I'm going to have him play the same thing. No pressure. He's not looking at his watch. There's a tuner on the end of the guitar for you guys that aren't guitar tech. All right, go ahead and play that same song. Ah. See how that works? All right. Give Dave a hand, you guys. Is that the first time you preached? All right. Interesting words during worship today. God absolutely, he just solidified in my heart that the things that he has given me to bring to you today are really what he wanted to say today, and he did it during worship. Worship was an amazing time, and there were a couple of words. The first one was about the fact that the servant of Elisha didn't see God's army that was always there and surrounding them. the whole time. He didn't see it until Elisha prayed. And then his eyes were opened. Oh, it's not what I think it is. It's not as bad as what it looks out there. In fact, it's great. God's army is protecting us. The second word, and it was spoken even twice, remember the things God has done. Remember the things God has done. If we're going to be a blessing to people, if we're going to bless somebody, we have to have something in the first place to bless them with. Okay? So remember what God, and as I heard those two words, I said, God, you are so speaking what your heart is to us today. He wants to move us into be a people that not only recognize that we're blessed, that live blessed lives, but a people that get to bless all of creation with him, other people. We get the opportunity, church, to bless other people. And that's what we're talking about here, is learning to be a blessing and starting with prayer. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to tune us up now as an instrument, if you will. And so I'm going to read some familiar truths to you. I won't give you all the references and stuff. And just get with me on this. We're going to tune up. We're going to get the strings in tune the way it's supposed to be in the first place. So I'm going to just start reading this, a couple of things here. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are made in the image of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are adopted and loved and called sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are the apple of his eye. We are chosen. We're blessed coming in and going out. We're persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We know the truth and it sets us free. We're valuable to God and worth to him the price of the precious blood of Jesus. We are completely forgiven through Jesus' blood. We're healed by his stripes. We're destined to eternal life. We are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. His grace is sufficient for us. We have homes being prepared in heaven for us. We are the focus of Jesus' intercession. We are God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We are complete in Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Tune up. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think it probably does, because when the truth is spoken, it sets you free and it just gets something going in us. Wait, there's an army in front of the army that seems to be coming against me. And there is a truth in front of us against whatever we think comes against us and stops us from being a blessing. When we're tuned in to God's Spirit and his value system, we will live blessed lives. And we will naturally be a blessing to others. When we're tuned in, we're going to recognize that we're blessed, and naturally blessings are going to flow out of us to others. When we're focused on who God says we are and who he's making us to be, the things that we value in the life that we live, it'll be a blessed life, will naturally be a blessing. And so it's worth being focused. Amen, church? Amen. That's why we come together, honestly. That is part of the reason that God put the church together, so we don't end up out there by ourselves and trying to figure it out. He put all the pieces, and we just got done with a series talking about the fact that we're gifted, and God's gifted. He's given gifts to us, and he's given them to us not so we could say, look what I got, but so we could share them back into his eternal kingdom and watch what he does when they all come together. And God gets glory out of that when we put our gifts back into his hands. And so as we bring, stay in tune with and bring back our gifts and are reminded of who we are in Christ, now we have some blessings that we can start giving individually and as a church. So today, when I talk about this, I want you to understand that, you know, we're going to bring this down to prayer and how to effectively pray. I've talked to a lot of people who don't know how to pray, but I want us to understand that individually we need to learn how to pray, and as a church, as the body of Christ, we need to learn how to pray together. So the reason we start with prayer, the reason we begin, I can't say start because B is the B in bless. So the reason we begin with prayer is in order to be a blessing, in order for us to be a blessing, is so that we can do just that. Get in tune, get proper perspective, and keep kingdom values in our focus. Okay? So let's just pray over this right now. I'm going to just pray that God would help us to tune up today. So let's pray together, church. And Father, it's so awesome to see that you have gone before this message. This message that is, it's been truth forever. And you knew we would all be sitting here today hearing what you're saying. Holy Spirit, I do pray that you would help me to say only what the church is intended to hear from you and not from me, God. And I pray that you would tune us in. I thank you for the precious promises in the Word. I read a small handful of all the precious promises and the awesomeness of you and your kingdom, God. And today, I pray that you would help us tune in. I pray when we leave today, I pray this week that you would be calling us to prayer, that you would be calling us to the Great Commission. You'd be calling us to give our gifts and to offer back to you everything that you've given to us and share in your joy, God. Thank you for helping us with that today, Lord. Tune us up. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we value these things. We value the scriptures. We value the promises. We understand that God really is for us and no one's going to be against us. We get that stuff. So since we do, and it's a blessing to us, what hinders us from living a life that recognizes all the time that I am blessed and living in the fullness of Christ? What stops us from doing that? Well, you probably all know the answer. There's a battle. There's an enemy. And I want to expose the enemy for a minute. The enemy knows that when we walk in the Spirit, we're going to reap spiritual things. So, he battles against the Spirit by always doing this. He cries out, "Flesh! What? Flesh! Wake up, flesh! I got something for you here, flesh." Sound like the enemy? He screams it loud. He screams it loud. "Wake up, flesh." Here are some of the tactics the enemy uses. You'll recognize these. There are more, but these are really common. And he usually doesn't even have to go too deep into any great tactics because we listen really easily. But I want to just call out some of these distractions. We're distracted from living blessed and being blessed. Although we know we're blessed, if the enemy can get us to feed our flesh, we won't live in the spirit of, "I am blessed, therefore I have a blessing for others." So let's look at some distractions here. He distracts us. What we really value, the things that we value can be dulled. Our senses can be dulled by things like work, sports, entertainment, politics. Anybody get distracted with politics? School. School. The news. And we get distracted from the precious truths and from feeding the Spirit. We sit there and we feed our flesh on that stuff. And the enemy knows it's a great distraction to keep you from understanding who you are. We end up doing the things that we don't really want to do. And the things we really do, our spirit really wants to do, we end up not doing those so well, right? Another one that he is common is guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation. It's really, really hard to think about blessing somebody else when we just spend most of our time trying to fix ourselves and worry about ourselves. And oh, he loves to take, you know, he'll give you these thoughts. And we entertain them sometimes. It's the beginning of sin. And when we entertain that thought, then the enemy likes to go, "Ha, gotcha, you're guilty." And we spend all of our time, even when we pray, "God, make me right. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your spirit. I want to know that I'm okay." And the focus becomes more on us than it does on blessing others. Guilt and condemnation are a big one. A couple of quick scriptures. I'm not going to try to fix that today, but God will fix it. When you just take the simple truth of where we're going today, talking about prayer. A couple of quick simple truths that you need to throw back in. We all need this. We all face that tactic of guilt and condemnation. In 1 John, he says pretty simply, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we all know that, and we're like, oh, cool, good, I'm covered. And yet the enemy still goes, are you sure? There's another one. There is no condemnation for those found in Christ Jesus. So just be found in Christ Jesus. Just be found in Christ Jesus. That's just a couple of simple truths. The enemy's going to come with those tactics. Kick him out. Another one of his tactics that's a big deal is pride. Me first. What about me? I need mine taken care of. I can't help anybody. I need me first. And things like feeling superior to others. Even the skills or gifts that other people have, it's like, that's not so great. Mine's probably better. Right? Do we do that? Am I being real? And they're gifts that were given by God. I want to encourage people to use their gifts in his kingdom. I want to encourage people to throw their gift in. I want to bring mine in and say, it's what I've got and it's valuable. The widow's mite, the story of the widow that she gave all she had, and it was nothing compared to all the other people's. But in the kingdom, it was way more because she gave all that she had back. Pride. Pride in our finances. I'm doing pretty well. I could build a big barn. You guys that read the Bible know that story. Pride in our social status. I live in a better neighborhood. You know, I'm not trying to be harsh, but you guys, these are tactics the enemy will use, and he does use, to distract us from blessing other people. And we, church, kingdom people, need to be aware that the enemy is trying to distract us. How about our religious behaviors? You ever look at somebody's Bible and said, man, that's not as marked up as mine. Of course, I don't know if you guys have Samsung notes where you highlight in your thing. I can't see it all like that, but yeah, you get it. Sometimes we think we're doing so much better than everybody else, and it's pride, and it's all damaging to us thinking outward because we're thinking inward. Great scripture I want to read for us here, and we're going to read this together, actually, and it's found in Mark. And this is Jesus right before he goes to give his life for us and bless us with every spiritual blessing. And it says this, that Jesus is going to the garden to pray, and they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. I stop there for a second. Jesus, this is the point in his life. This is the lowest point in his life because he knows he's about ready to go to death. The death of the cross. Painful, terrible death, but not just pain. Putting the weight of yours and mine and the whole creation's sin on his shoulders and carrying that. He was distressed and troubled. This is our Lord who did this. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it's possible for you, remove this cup from me. He's praying to God. He's going, all things are possible for you. I know they are. Father, you love me. I know it's possible. So if you can figure a way to do this out, remove this cup. I do not want to go through this. This is tough. And then he said this, yet, not what I will, but what you will. And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, if Peter was standing here today, we're standing here and we're reading the story and go, man, I think I would have stayed awake. Jesus was about ready to die. I don't care what. Whatever it takes, wake up. And Jesus is telling us something that's common to us. The spirit is willing. Peter, his spirit was willing. In fact, before this, he said, Jesus, no one's going to deny you. I'll die first. His spirit was willing. And then we all know, if you read the Bible, that right as Jesus was going to his trial, Peter was denying him, saying, oh. So his spirit was definitely willing, but his flesh was weak. That's what our issue is, you guys. Our spirit is willing to pray for people. Right now, I think in this house, in this moment, with the Spirit of God here with us, I think that we could probably ask most of us in here would go, yeah, I'll bless other people. Of course I'll bless other people. Our spirits are willing, but the enemy wants to distract us and use tactics against us, sometimes even being tired and going to sleep when you shouldn't be going to sleep. Here's one thing that's really cool about that story. If you read it, the story of Jesus praying in the garden, and you'll find it in three of the Gospels. When they were sleeping, he went back and prayed after they woke up. And then he came back to them again, and they were sleeping again. I'm sure Peter probably, when he got woke up, was like, whoa, man, my Lord is troubled. Wow, I'm just tired. Okay, wake up. I'm going to go back. Jesus came back again a third time, and they were sleeping again. But the really cool thing about it is Jesus kept going. He kept on his mission. He prayed this prayer. And that's what we're bringing this down to, is how are we going to pray so we can stay tuned in, tuned up with the Spirit of the Lord. He prayed this prayer. I feel like this, but not my will, yours be done. Therefore, I will keep going. So where did Jesus get the power in his life to actually do all that stuff? Where did he get the power to actually walk out the will of God with the days that he was here on earth? Well, he got it completely from prayer. Not just that prayer, but if you read the Gospels, you'll see Jesus, he got up early in the morning and went and found a place to pray. He talked about his prayer. He prayed all day. He would get done preaching and he would go pray. He talked about his prayer all the time by saying, this isn't what I'm saying. This thing I'm teaching you right now is not coming from me. I'm only repeating what I just heard from the Father. He stayed so in tune with the Father's voice. The Father, the Creator, God that has the whole plan figured out, Jesus himself, the Son of God, who didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was God, but he put that off so he could become a man, so he could understand, so we could understand. He could take all of our pain. He could take all of that stuff. And Jesus kept focused on what the Father said all the time. He prayed all the time. In fact, he was so effective. He was healing people. You know that. He was calling out things in people's lives that he, you know, all the spiritual gifts were being displayed in Jesus. He was walking this supernatural life here on earth so effectively that his disciples said, we keep seeing you go pray. We hear these things that are powerful that are coming from the Father. So what the disciples say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. That's what we want to know today. I want to know some of the power of how Jesus prayed so I can bless people and walk the will of the Father with my life. How about you? Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a big deal. We need to pay attention to prayer. We need to pay attention to, if you don't think you're a good prayer, it's okay. Just work on it because it's important. Don't get distracted from it. It's important. So the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he said, okay, I'm going to teach you to pray. So I'm just going to spend a few minutes. I'm not going to dissect this too much, but I want to show you the prayer. You all recognize it as the Lord's Prayer. And he said, when you pray, he said, pray like this. And I cannot see that back there, and I didn't put the scripture on my notes, so don't mind. I'm going to turn around and read this with you. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What Jesus wasn't saying is that this is the prayer that you should pray. So he wasn't really trying to just make it easy. You remember this? How many of you guys have this memorized? Raise your hand. Probably most of us have this memorized, right? Raise your hand high. Come on. I know that prayer. I know you guys do. He wasn't necessarily saying to memorize it. It's a great prayer to memorize. But what's probably more important than memorizing the prayer is memorizing the content of the prayer. If you remember, Jesus, just before this, he was teaching on prayer, and he said, when you pray, don't do it in repetitions, vain repetitions that are just, they're empty. So you just say in these words, you know. He said, don't do it like that. He said, when you pray, he comes on, he says, pray like this. So I'm going to just break down really quickly some of the things that are in the prayer that need to be a part of how we learn to pray, guys. Because when we learn to pray like this, it tunes us up. It gets us in tune with the kingdom of God and with the heart of God and with the plan of God. And we will walk when we learn to pray in this model, in this pattern, these heart attitudes. We'll learn to walk like we're supposed to. And we will be a blessing to other people. So the first thing he said is, Father. There could be volumes and volumes and volumes written of what's involved in the Heavenly Father and who he is. From the Creator to our personal God that loves us and said, I've got a plan. I'm knitting you together right here. You're going to be born at this time. You're going to know these people. He is wise. I know that there's fathers in here that have a plan for your kids. The kids don't always walk exactly like we wish they would, but we have a plan for them. And it's not to harm them. It's not to punish them or to beat them. It's because we love them and we know. Sometimes it's, you need to go pick up that pile of junk in the yard. And it's not because, you all know what happens when we say that, fathers. How about, let's just look at it a different way. What'd you say when somebody told you to go pick up the junk in the yard? I don't want to pick the junk up in the yard. And yet we know that the best thing for our kid is to teach them some disciplines. There's forgiveness. The father is arms wide open saying, I still love you. It doesn't matter what you've done. I still love you. How can I fix this? How can I make this right? How can I get it to where you see how much I love you? So when we say, Father, our Father, we're not just praying. We're starting to focus in on pretty powerful character of our God. It changes things when we pray, Father. In heaven, look, God is not upset by the election, by fraud, by anything that the news brings our way. God is not impacted. His heart is not affected by the things that happen here in the world. His culture is different. Heaven, he's timeless. He doesn't even have time to worry about. God is not impacted by the things that impact us. He's in heaven. So when we pray, Father, who's in heaven? In other words, you're the one that has the perspective here, God. So I'm going to tune up. You're my Father. You're in heaven. This is how we start to pray. This is how we start to pray. Hallowed is your name. What is that word, hallowed? You ever heard the saying, this is hallowed ground. Something awesome happened here. If you know the story of how awesome, things that happened at Gettysburg, for instance, they would call that hallowed ground. There were a whole bunch of lives that were taken there, but think about what was going on in those people's lives and their hearts, thinking about their families as they were saying, I'm going to keep marching, I'm going to die, but I'm thinking about who's coming behind me. So we call that hallowed ground because there's a whole lot of depth in the character of what happened there. Hallowing the name of God is not just going, okay, God, your name's big. And it is, and we know it is. And it's pretty incredible. All of us will have a little bit of a different picture show up in our mind when we say, I'm gonna pay attention, I'm going to hallow the name of God. But hallowing the name of God is actually paying attention to the character of God. See, I'm going to use a name that most of you will be familiar with, and the name is Mother Teresa, okay? Just by me saying her name, that put a picture in a whole bunch of people's heads in here of this great person, okay? Her name is hallowed, but this is the name of God. So, Father, who's in heaven, whose character, whose name is so powerful. We're starting to tune up. We're starting to tune up. Your kingdom's coming. Your kingdom's coming. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. This earth is temporal. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. His kingdom is actually here. Your kingdom, bring it. In fact, and he goes on and he says, bring it to earth as it is in heaven. Bring your will, the things you want, bring them to earth as they're already set up in heaven. Do you know that God, before you were born, had already planned out your life? We only think that we get to choose. I mean, we do. You understand what I'm saying? We need to choose. God, I surrender it to you. But he's the one that gets everything put right in the path to even bring us to the place of choice. He has our steps predestined, you guys. God had planned out our days. It's in the Bible. I'll show you in more than one place. It's in the Bible. God knows the steps that he's ordered for you. So when I pray, your kingdom's coming, so bring your will, not mine, your will. It's not my will to go pick up that pile of sticks, but you know what you're doing. So it doesn't even matter. Are you? Think back for a second, Jesus praying, God, Father, this is the most trouble and distress, and you know, and can you take it from me, Daddy? But yeah, it doesn't even matter what I think. Your will is what matters. See? It's amazing. It's amazing. So when we pay attention to who we're praying to, where he is and what he's not limited by, the absolute depth and character of who he is, and the absolute fact that his kingdom and his will are already set into motion, it pretty much gets us in line now with, okay, what I was thinking or what I was wanting to think doesn't really matter that much anymore. So then we pray the next thing. Give me today what I need. Give us our daily bread. What we need. He knows we need things. He absolutely does. I know. I love it when my kid asks me for stuff, when they pester me for stuff that I don't think is good for them. I don't like that. But when they ask me, hey, Dad, can I have that? I know what they need. I love it when they ask. He loves it when we ask. But boy, it sure is good to ask on purpose. In fact, James even talks about that. He says we can have whatever we ask for as long as we ask in the right attitude. Jesus is teaching us the attitude. So take care of my needs. It's a real thing. I would venture to say that, actually, I won't guess on you. I'll just tell on me. Probably my whole life combined, I guarantee you that more of my prayers started there. This is what I need. This is what I think I want. Okay? And it's not tuned up. It's not right. It's not the right way to be effective in prayer. And Jesus is teaching us how to be effective in prayer. He goes on. One of the things that I need for sure, is I need forgiveness every day. Those thoughts come through and stuff. But if I've already prayed, forgive me my debts today. Forgive me the things I trespass on. You guys, the thoughts are going to come. But man, if I am standing, seeing the army standing around, the enemy's going to come and try to throw stuff, and I'm going to see the army. God, forgive me today. Forgive me for my thoughts yesterday. Forgive me for the things that I don't even know have happened, but they were wrong. Forgive me, because you have the power to forgive, and I trust that you will. So forgive me. That's part of tuning up. Help me to forgive other people. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. I'm not standing here talking about forgiveness right now. But what I'm talking about is a right attitude to be able to bless people. We have got to forgive people. A couple of things I think I put on my slide. Those are God's kids. I had it on my slide. Those are God's kids. He loves them. I don't care wrong, right, or indifferent if they do something dumb. If my kids do something dumb, you better leave them alone. You're going to have to deal with the father that's not real happy with you. Okay? Don't mess with God's kids. We have to forgive people. And people all walked in different shoes. You ever notice how you say, I can't believe that person would do that? We've all said that, or we've all at least thought it. I can't believe that person is doing that. Are they out of their mind? Political reference, go away. Okay. Are they out of their mind? I can't believe they would do that. And yet, they're not judging what they're doing the same way that you're judging it. They didn't walk in your shoes. They didn't have the same exact pictures. None of us have exactly the same pictures in our life of who we've grown to be. So it's really important that we trust and understand that God loves that person. He created them for His glory. He's working on them, and you better not hinder what He's working on by throwing your opinion in there. God, help me to forgive other people and not hold them. The other thing is, Jesus already carried the weight of their sin. Do you really want to do that? Let Him have it. God, forgive those people. And then there's a couple more. He prays about leading us away from temptation. I'll just say it that way because it sounds better. Lead us away from temptation. Don't lead us into it, but lead us away from it. The trials and temptation, again, I don't want to go too deep into this, but the trials and temptations are most of the time the same thing. The same situation as a trial. Brothers, count it a joy when you fall into various trials. What? And the devil uses it as a temptation to try to sidetrack you. So we're all going to have trials come our way. And it's not just to tempt us to kill us, but it's this: lead me not into temptation. Let that trial be something that just proves you even greater in my life, God. Let that thing that's going to come my way today prove who you are. He doesn't want to break us. He wants us to prove Him so we can come closer to walking the way He created us to walk. So as trials come our way, lead me away from temptation today. How many of you guys have temptations and trials that come in your life every day? All of us do. Part of lining up and tuning up and praying right is praying that so we cannot be hindered by those things. Moving on, deliver us from the evil one. The devil only has as much power as you give him. A lot of us, everyone, would probably go, oh, he's powerful. The thing is, he's defeated. He's defeated. That's right. And when we're in tune, we'll walk that way. He's defeated. Okay? So today, as I'm tuning up with you, Father in heaven, whose character is awesome, whose will has already happened, who takes care of my needs, who forgives me, who helps me forgive other people, who is proving me and bringing me along the school of life, get this guy out of here. Get the devil behind me. Deliver me from his junk today. That's tuning up. That's being in tune with God. When we learn to effectively pray, that's, by the way, that's an attitude. There's many, many words that can go into that attitude, but that's really the heart of what Jesus was saying. When we learn how to pray effective prayers like Jesus taught us, other people will become a priority for us, just like they did for him. Jesus prayed this way, and who was a priority in Jesus' life? Us. We were a priority over what he wanted to eat, over what they probably didn't have movies. Maybe they did. I don't know. There's nothing new under the sun. I don't know. But whatever he thought he wanted to do, we were his priority because he prayed with his heart and attitude. And I want to talk to you about one other thing about the prayer in the garden. This is John's version of the prayer in the garden. So the one we read a while ago was Mark's version. John, Jesus prays for his disciples. Oh, Father, take care of these guys that you gave me. Then he prays for us. Take care of all the people that will come to know us because of these guys going through this. So after he went through that distressed, troubled time, and he said, not my will, but yours be done. It's your deal. What did he think of right away? Others. He thought of others. When he got his heart in line with the will of God, he thought of others. Church, we all know there's a great commission. That's why we're talking about being a blessing to people. We need to do better at the Great Commission. Generations, times, there's a lot of people that have done better at it than we do. We do okay at church, coming together and doing our thing, but the Great Commission of actually bringing the good news that God has redemption for you people, our neighbors, the people we talk about, we get together and we say, rah, rah, let's get them, and we mean it, but we got to stay focused. The Great Commission doesn't become such a chore, because a lot of times when we say, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, all of us have had different thoughts. Man, am I supposed to travel? Am I supposed to, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what I have to give. And we have all these distractions and things going on. It's because we're not in tune. When we are in tune and we learn to pray right, the Great Commission actually doesn't become a chore. It becomes a joy. Because we get to actually be a part. God, wise Father, made it this way. We get to share the joy of seeing people come into the kingdom of God with him. He wants us to share his joy. Right? Went to the harvest party. Sorry, that's for you old people. Okay, I'm going to bring this down to some practical stuff. So, Jesus does want us to learn to pray. Now I want to talk about just some practical ways to grow our prayer life, okay? So, the first thing I want to talk about here is we need to learn to pray in 3D. I call it 3D, okay? You don't need 3D glasses for this. You need to pray this way. And it's 3 D's of praying. So the first thing is, the first D is desire. Desire says, I want to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God. How many of you guys have the desire to know how to pray right? Raise your hand. If you have the desire, yeah, we do have the desire. A lot of times we don't go any farther because we think we fail at it. So the desire kind of gets out of focus. Get in tune. Have the desire to do what God wants to do. The second D is discipline. Discipline says, I am weak at prayer, but by faith and obedience, I'm going to continue to pray steadfastly anyway. I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to discipline myself. Some of you may have. Nobody liked the big, long English test and the math test and the stuff in school. It was hard when you were on the other side of it. Now you look back and go, whatever. Oh, by the way, I'm glad that I went through that stuff. I know how to do it now, right? Discipline gets you through, and discipline, desire, yeah, I want to do this, leads to discipline that says, my want is going to make me do what I know I should. You may not even like it, but it's discipline. I will practice and learn how to pray. The third D is delight. Delight happens when God rewards our obedience with a heart that is united with his, and we get to share the joy of seeing his kingdom advance. We are part of it, and he loves to share that with us. He wanted to share all of creation with us, and he did. So, pray in 3D. Desire leads to discipline, and it will lead to delight. It really will lead to delight. Okay, so we want to learn how to pray. We know we need to. Where are we going to start? Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. This is Paul talking about prayer, and there's some great prayer points that he has in here that we can just learn from. We learn the attitude of prayer that Jesus showed us how to pray, and now if we're going to pray that we can begin with prayer in blessing other people, let's look at what he said. Paul says at 4:2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, so continue. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I might make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of your time. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Okay, so I'm just going to break this down real fast, and then we're going to pray. All right. So the first thing he says that I want you to pay attention to is continue steadfastly in prayer. You just got to do it. In the spirit of Nike, just do it. Just do it. I desire it. I'm going to do it. I don't know where the enemy right now is lying to people saying, How are you going to find time? You know what? Go back in his face and go, oh, I'll make time for the things that are important. Okay? Continue steadfastly. Be watchful and thankful. If you're going to bless people, you need to live blessed. I am paying attention to what God is doing every day. I am so blessed. Wow, I can't contain it. My cup runs over, and it's going to spill on some of you guys, whether you think you want it or not. Be watchful and be thankful. Thank you, Jesus, that you're bringing me along. I have something to give. Pray for ourselves and for others that doors will be opened. You know, you could pray for the church. You could go, I'm going to do my best. I also want to pray for my church. We're in this together. We link arms together. We want to bless people. We want to love people. We want people to know who you are. So pray that doors will be opened. A big door was opened in this property that we call our church now. The door was opened. I sat and watched. I sat and watched our leadership go, we're not going to push this, but it looks like God's opened it. And they didn't push it. And I know that God called us to this place today because of that. I wasn't praying for that. But be praying that doors will be open because God already has his plan in place. And that people will see the doors open so they can walk through them. So pray that doors will be open on purpose. In tune. Pray for wisdom on how to speak, how to walk amongst outsiders, and how to best use our time. We could spend some more time in prayer on those things, American culture, 2019. Yeah. Give us wisdom how to walk and to speak and how to best use our time. We could use some pray time on that while we're in tune. Pray for grace and salt. What is that? Well, grace is what we really didn't deserve, nor do the people around us, but yet God has it for them, and he loves them. So the way we walk with them, we just walk with grace for them. We want to bring them along. What is salt? Salt is spice. Salt is, it's just the right touch that enhances the flavor so that our speech would be with grace. I have grace for you, but I also have some salt to bring a little bit of flavor to what's going on here. Pray for divine appointments and look on purpose for opportunity. God, would you give me divine appointments today? You've been told this before, I'm sure, in the church. You know, we got to pray for opportunities, and we do have to pray for opportunities. But remember, if we're in tune, the Great Commission is more of a joy than it is a chore. Man, I got to find opportunities. Who am I going to talk to today? There's nothing wrong with that. God, help me run into somebody today that I can talk to. But pray on purpose, in tune, for divine opportunities. Divine is a big key word in that. Set up by God. Because they can't go wrong. He's already planned it. Pray for boldness. This is the last one I have. By the way, there's other things you can pray for. But if you need to know where to start, you start here. You pray these things. Pray for boldness. That's a big one. The enemy comes up and throws fear in our face. They are going to laugh at you. Pray for boldness. God, would you give me boldness as I try to do your will, as I try to take the steps today? Would you give me boldness so I can know that when I hear from you, I won't be afraid and I'll be able to say, I'm calling the kingdom of heaven to earth boldly because my Father is the one that spoke it to me, and I don't speak anything except for what I hear the Father speak, just like Jesus said. Pray for boldness. We can't be afraid if we want to be a blessing to other people. You cannot be afraid. We need to pray for boldness. This is my last closing statement. In that prayer, he says, pray that we could walk in wisdom towards outsiders or towards unbelievers. And that's a big one because I know, I'll tell on me for a minute. I kind of don't like my son playing with the neighbor kids because they say things that I really don't want my son to have to deal with. I don't like my son playing with the neighbor kids because they do things and he'll see things that I really don't want him to have to deal with. And we live in this place where we don't really know how to deal with unbelievers. Should I go into that place? This used to be a big one for me. I used to think, you know, there's a ton of people in bars that really are just looking for reason to life. And they'll even have a conversation with you. And I used to think, man, I'd go in there if my church wouldn't like condemn me to hell for going in there. Okay, I'm not suggesting that that's what you do. What I'm saying is that you pray that you can walk in wisdom towards unbelievers. What do we do? Can we even be with unbelievers, church? Can we be with unbelievers? Here's my last statement. Jesus was after he prayed. We got to begin with prayer if we're going to be a blessing. And church, we've got the greatest blessing. We can stand up to our feet. I'm done. You probably have a song, don't you? You have a song. Come on. We're going to sing a song together. So thankful that God is patient with us. I'm so thankful that he's patient with me first. That he's patient with us. That he continues to call us to the things that we already know. You guys probably know most of a lot of you do. Some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. But yet, you've heard the truth that there's a God that created us and that loves us and that has a plan for us and he has eternity in mind for us. You've heard it if you don't know the stuff I'm talking about. And there are people around this place that need an opportunity to share what God's showing them. So if you need to know who Jesus is, if you need to know what the kingdom of God is all about, please, a couple ways you can do it. You can fill out a connect card. There's connect cards in the back of the seat, but there's also people here. There's leaders here. You can come and talk to me. There are people here. There are people probably right next to you that you could just ask and say, you know what? I want to know more. I need someone to pray with me. I want to make sure that you have that opportunity. The rest of us, aren't we grateful that God is for us and that he's moving us forward, that his kingdom is advancing and he's inviting us to be in that with him? Isn't that cool? Yeah, amen. Let's sing a song and we'll close her out. Yeah, Father, thank you. Do what you want to. God, you want to bring us closer to you. You want us to be in tune with you. We get the opportunity to be in tune with you. Thank you, Lord. I surrender to you today. We surrender to you today. This church surrenders to you today. God, do what you want to. Make us a blessing, God. Teach us how to pray, we pray. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for my friends today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going out of this place with us. And I pray, God, that on every single person here, that you would continue to remind us today. Make this a life message to where when we stand, we can say, it doesn't matter what I want, not my will, but yours be done. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw us right on into the great, awesome commission that you have that we get to share with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Hey, I'm